Now ask for your careful attention then while our speaker delivers his subject to us. Coming troubles on the second advent. We'll offer.
My beloved brothers and sisters and young people, coming troubles and the second advent. In former lectures from this platform, we have seen from the study of the scriptures that the purpose of God is to send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, back to this earth, not for the taking of the faithful to heaven as our religious friends would have us believe, but as the Apostle Paul writes in the Acts of the Apostles and in chapter 17, he, God, hath appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Of this he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. In this work of judgment given to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told that the kingdoms of men now in existence shall be overturned, and a new order and a new kingdom, singular, shall be set up upon the earth, which shall not be destroyed, but shall last for 1,000 years. The future ruler of this kingdom shall be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and those found faithful by him at his return to the earth. The Lord Jesus told his disciples plainly that he would rule with them, or they would rule with him, in the coming age of righteousness and peace. He said to them quite plainly, "Ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones of Israel, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And this is that which the prophet Isaiah, in his 9th chapter, prophesied. He prophesied that would come upon the earth when he wrote, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Age-Lasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." The zeal of the Lord of hosts, we read, will perform this. It will come upon the earth. So, a time is coming upon this earth when the kingdoms of men shall become the kingdom of his Lord and of his Christ. And we note that the change from the kingdoms of men to the kingdom of God, ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ and his associates, will not be an instantaneous affair. It will not come about overnight, though God, if he so wished, could bring it about in a moment of time. But there would, as one writer puts it, then be no scope for the intended punishment of this wicked world, and no depth in the moral effect upon the remnant left after the judgments upon this earth. In Isaiah, in his 26th chapter, we read, "When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." This slow, worked out judgment upon the world will have the desired effect without doubt, showing to mankind that it is the God who is the creator and the sustainer of this universe. It is He is the wonderful power of the universe, and that it is His will that shall be done upon the earth, even to fill this earth with His glory, righteousness, and peace. That is His end, to fill this earth with His glory, righteousness, and peace. Filled with the people who had given to Him the glory, the honor that is His due. Turn with me to the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 12. The book of the prophet Daniel, in chapter 12, and verse 1. Daniel, speaking of this time to come, tells us, "And at that time shall Michael, one like Eil, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, as our brother spoke of in his prayer this evening, a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever." Here we have that time of judgment as has never been seen upon the earth, and a time of wonderful glory after those judgments are passed. Turn to the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 21. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gospel according to Luke and chapter 25. 21st chapter of Luke and verse 25. "And here we read, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, or no way out, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Surveying these testaments as a whole, we find that they reveal two separate stages in the coming troubles that are coming upon the earth. Firstly, there is distress of nations, evil going forth from nation to nation, and men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. Secondly, by divine manifestation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we shall see accompanied by His faithful ones, who have been raised from the dead, and having been bestowed upon with eternal life, bring sweeping judgments of fire and sword upon the nations. Turn with me to Psalm 149, where these things are spoken of. Psalm 149 and verse 5. "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor of all his saints. Hallelujah. So here we have this second divine manifestation, the Lord Jesus Christ and those with him, bringing retribution upon the earth. This is evidence, surely, that the change from the misrule of man, 6,000 years of misrule, to the righteous rule of the Lord Jesus Christ will not be a quick and peaceful affair. The address that you hear this evening is not a nice, peaceful address. It speaks of judgment and blood. It speaks of a terrible time of God's judgment upon the earth. A time of trouble without parallel in history. The whole world will be in turmoil, being involved in political and moral difficulties. Man will now see that God, in the severity of God, when he pours out his judgment upon them for their wickedness. The Lord Jesus Christ gave an indication of what the conditions would be like when upon the earth when he returns. He said, did he not, that those days would be as the days of Noah and the days of Lot. The days of Noah were noted for violence, evil times when man corrupted God's way, the way of truth and righteousness upon the earth. They corrupted God's way of truth and righteousness upon the earth and became wicked and evil. It brought the judgments of God upon them, the flood which destroyed all flesh upon the earth, except righteous Noah, who walked in the way of God and did those things pleasing in his sight. We've heard of the judgments of Sodom and Gomorrah. That city of Sodomites, as the world is getting full of Sodomites today, that was also destroyed, with only Lot and his two daughters escaping the terrible judgments God brought upon it. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, speaking of the last days of Judah's commonwealth in AD 70, when God brought the judgments upon Israel, when God indeed brought judgments because of their wickedness and for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the Apostle Paul says, men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let's turn to that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Speaking of those days of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. This know also, says the Apostle Paul, speaking of those days, that in the last days, as the last days of Judah's commonwealth, when the judgments of God came upon Israel in AD 70, and we all hear the terrible time that came upon Jerusalem at that time, he says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Paul spoke of that of his day. Surely they are the signs regarding the days which you and I live. Are men lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, without natural affection, true speakers, false accusers, so forth, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? We would have thought that the Apostle Paul was writing for the days in which you and I live. The days in which you and I live, and it is indeed a warning. It is indeed a warning to each one of a judgment to come upon the age in which you and I live. God is not mocked. He has set his plan forward, and nothing will stop it. Scripture abounds with quotations regarding the time of trouble predicted to come, when God will pour his judgments upon this earth. Let us turn to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. Just to give us an indication of what it will be like in those when God sends his judgments. Verse 28. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup of thy hand to drink, and then thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, he shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And should he be utterly unpunished, he shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout to they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the course of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither garred nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. What a terrible time is predicted to come upon the earth. When the slain of the Lord shall be at one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. The prophet Isaiah too speaks of one who will come to set the nations of the earth. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. The book of the prophet Isaiah chapter 30. And verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to yearn. He shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as one goeth with one pipe to come into the mounting of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. Yes, behold, verse 27, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger. God is angry with the wicked nations. Who is this name of the Lord, we might ask, personified in this quotation? Who is the name of the Lord that is to come from far? This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who said to those in the days of his ministry, I am come in my Father's name. I am come in my Father's name. Scripture tells us that there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus anointed. God with us, Emmanuel, man of God manifested in flesh. Here is the one spoken of by Isaiah, represented in that quotation, the name of the Lord coming from far. The explanation is easily seen from the parable Jesus gave concerning a nobleman going into a far country, which our president read for us this evening. If that nobleman going into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return as King of Kings over the people. Turn with me to that chapter 19 of Gospel according to Luke and verse 12. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, and we read at verse 12. Jesus then, we read from verse 10, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded the servant to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. And verse 26, for I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. The Lord Jesus Christ is that nobleman who is gone into a far country. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God. But as he left the Mount of Olives, we read in the Acts of the Apostles, if we was to turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, as he went into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, he spoke to his disciples. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, But he shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Yes. Here we read that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of God. But as he left the Mount of Olives, of what we've just read, the disciples which saw him go into heaven were told that this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as he shall, as he saw him go into heaven. And the question that the disciples asked him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again to the kingdom of Israel? His answer at that time, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But now, the one who comes from far, he has come to judge this earth in righteousness and to set up that kingdom, to restore the kingdom once again to Israel. He is to return to set up the kingdom of God upon earth, the restored kingdom of Israel, and to set upon the throne of his father David, which is not in heaven, but was upon the earth. It was on the earth in Israel in the days of David, that illustrious king. But first, he is to judge the nations and those who have corrupted the earth. Turn with me to the prophet Malachi in chapter 3. The book of the prophet Malachi in chapter 3. And here we read in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. That judgment is to come. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall neither leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you, to those that are faithful, but unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and go up as calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes unto the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Here we see, in these words of the prophet Malachi, that a time of discerning between the righteous and the wicked is to come upon the earth. A time which the prophet Jeremiah spoke of, when the slain shall be at one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. A sifting of the nations, sifting the righteous from the wicked, sifting those that would worship God and those who go their own way. For as the psalmist tells us so plainly in Psalm 37, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. What a wonderful blessing. When the wicked from this earth are cut off, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The Lord shall reveal himself again upon the earth, but not as he came the first time, as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sacrifice for sin, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah, treading the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God, taking vengeance on this unbelieving, wicked, and pleasure-seeking generation in which you and I live. The vengeance of the Lord will bring the slain of the Lord to cover the earth. Multitudes will perish through war and pestilence. The remaining population of the earth will compose of the meek. For the Lord Jesus Christ told us that the meek shall inherit the earth. Yes, the remaining population of the earth will compose of the meek and submissive. Those who will submit to God, of the people will constitute, they will constitute the willing subjects of the kingdom of God. They will constitute the willing subjects of the kingdom of God. It is by God's judgments upon the nations. He could bring the kingdom of God in a flash of time, in a moment of time, but he impresses upon them his omnipotence. He shows to the earth by his judgment that he is the God of the whole universe and that it is his will that will be done. By his judgment, men will learn righteousness. Let us turn to that quotation from Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And verse 1. Here we read, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Yahweh is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright that weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. This verse 10 is most interesting. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, and thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Yes, for with my soul have I desired thee. It is those that are faithful, the meek, shall inherit the earth. Because, as we have read in that verse, let favour be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. But to those that wait in the way of judgments, they shall indeed inherit the earth. What a wonderful time is predicted. What a wonderful time there is to come upon the earth for those that are faithful. When the judgments are passed, there will be 1,000 years of peace. When the earth will be ruled, when the Lord Jesus Christ and his saints. This is the time the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray for. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord Jesus exhorts us to pray for this time to come when the wicked shall be taken away from the earth. Isaiah the prophet, in speaking of this time, says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a wonderful time. What we might ask will be the position of Christ's own people, his cause chosen and faithful at this time of trouble for the nations of the world. The faithful of all ages, those who have waited for that great day in faith and obedience, will be seen as with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be at his side. They will be with him in the work of executing the judgment written, as we read in Psalm 149. And they will have a part and a place in the kingdom to live and reign with him upon the earth. Zechariah the prophet, in speaking of those days when the Lord shall go forth against the nations to battle, says, the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee, all the faithful with him, the saints, the called out ones, the ones that have come out and taken upon themselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they which were heeded the gospel call will be with him. They've come from the world, and they are with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've come and taken upon themselves his saving name through the waters of baptism. They will be with him in that day at his side. We have an interesting quotation regarding this time in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15 and verse 14. Here we read Simeon, verse 14, hath declared of God that the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Those that have been baptized and taken upon themselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I will return. I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Yes, this is the time spoken when the kingdom of Israel of the past, that of which the disciples asked the Lord Jesus about, when will it be restored, which was ruled over day by David, the illustrious king, and which was broken down because of Israel's wickedness, is now to be restored, to be built back up, and the Lord Jesus Christ shall sit upon that throne of David, ruling the earth in righteousness and peace. What a wonderful revelation we have in the scriptures of this time to come. We are told in the book of Revelations that they shall make war with the Lamb, the peoples, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him, the faithful, are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. These things concerning the judgments of God coming upon the earth are the things that the people of this world today do not want to hear. It's not pleasant, and people do not want to hear it. Just as in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, they didn't want to hear of it. They mocked, as did Lot's son-in-law, when Lot told them that God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah for their wicked ways. They were willingly ignorant, and just as the Jews were in AD 70, they said things are continuing since the time of the fathers. Things are not altering. Things have always been the same. When Rome came and took them away and their land, and the end came for Judah's commonwealth. And just as today, the people of the day, they do not want to hear the judgments of God because they are getting lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But God is not mocked. God is not mocked. He will send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said he would, to judge this earth. And that day is about to dawn. The day of man's misrule is almost at an end. The door of opportunity is just about to close. As our address from this platform next Sunday, God willing, will show, which is entitled Times and Signs or Evidence that the Day is at Hand, and it will be seen how near the Lord's return to the earth really is. What about you and I? Will you and I be prepared for that day? For only those who are covered by the righteousness of Christ and walk in his ways shall have a part and a place in that kingdom. Let us consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. He that believeth in me and is baptized shall be saved.